This is Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, in today for Gina Kaufman. So has housework got you down? Are you tired of heating rooms you don't use? Is the rent or mortgage payment cutting into your social life or your monthly food budget? Our guest today may have a solution for you that could change your life. Maybe even change the city we live in. Joining us is Josh Farmer. He's the president and development director of Tiny House Collective, Kansas City. And Josh, before you even explain what a tiny house is, which maybe is self-explanatory in a way, I want you to tell me about yourself and how you found yourself thinking about the size of your home.
Well, I guess the story really begins in a winter in upstate New York, where I was living about 10 years ago. I had been living pretty much a normal life in a normal-sized home with property to take care of, and I became very ill. I was hospitalized and lost a lot of work, and it was one of those cold New York winters when I went to go have the oil truck deliver fuel to my boiler, and the icy driveway couldn't get up. The truck couldn't get up, and fuel prices were high after Hurricane Katrina. And without work, I realized I'm sitting in this house by myself, trying to pay for utilities after I've had reduced work, trying to maintain this home after recuperating from a hospitalization. And I just kind of had a 2x4 to my head that this is unsustainable, at least for me in that circumstance. And that was kind of the genesis of me coming into the tiny house movement.
So how did you end up bringing that movement to Kansas City?
Well, I had worked on a few projects on the East Coast, but I realized that the land values along the East Coast were out of my price range to develop tiny houses. So I started looking for more affordable land values and a municipality that was open to the coding and zoning problems that come along with tiny housing. And Kansas City rose to the top.
Tell me about your house now. Where do you live?
Well, right now, I myself have yet to move into a tiny house. I want to be the first resident in this tiny house development that we are living in. But as a step to downsizing, I'm co-housing right now, which is essentially living in a traditional home, but with other folks. We share kitchen, we share bathroom, and we have our own bedroom, and we share utilities and costs. And it's a very good way to bridge the gap to tiny housing.
Well, let's talk about the tiny housing movement in general, what that even means. Let's start with the houses themselves. I think a lot of people are maybe envisioning something different than what you're talking about. What is a tiny house?
Well, there are two, I guess, modalities of tiny housing. You have a traditional tiny house on a foundation, which is constructed as a traditional home. But every inch of that home is intentionally planned with a reduced square foot footprint, generally between 150 to 350 square feet. Then there are those who are filled with more wanderlust and want mobility, and they are mounting these structures on a fortified trailer, and we refer to those as tiny house on wheels.
And how is that different than, well, a trailer that is essentially a small living space on wheels?
A lot of the traditional RVs and trailers that are out there are constructed of fiberglass. They're lightly insulated and not really built for long-term living. A tiny house on wheels is a traditionally framed home that's mounted on a trailer. You've got great insulation, lovely wood interiors, and artful use of furniture and space to really take care of all of your needs.
So 150 to 350 feet, you said. That's a really small footprint. It's tiny, I guess. How is that set up? I mean, walk us through the front door of one of these tiny houses. Tell us what it looks like.
Sure. What is key in envisioning what a tiny house is on the inside? Let's think about your kitchen, your bedroom, your living room. Now let's turn that into one multifunctional room. You can put your bed on a raised loft. You can have a kitchen that will take up about 8 feet of one wall or placed in a corner. But you have an open space where all of the rooms are combined into one with, you know, of course, the exception being the bathroom. We still like a little privacy there.
Right. I think that's for sure true. Okay, but how can you possibly have a bed and a dining room table and somewhere for guests to sit in that same space?
Well, if you think about your traditional home and how we spend time there, most of us are either in a chair, at a desk, in a bed, or at a table. And if you think about those components, you realize that all of those can fit within, say, a very large bedroom in your home, say 10 by 14, 12 by 14. They can all fit. And with the intentional crafting of these components, they fit really nicely, very cozy, very comforting.
And are these homes generally prefabbed and sort of brought into a space, or are they built just like you'd build any other home on that spot?
There are some very, very good tiny house construction companies throughout the country. They are making works of art. If you peruse the internet, you can see what's out there. It's very high quality. It comes with a price attached to it, though. What we're focusing on here in Kansas City is taking that quality and working to create the tiny houses here in Kansas City, but with our group providing volunteer effort in creating your home, sourcing our nonprofit to gain materials at a lower and cheaper cost, and really reducing that cost of a tiny house, but keeping every ounce of that quality.
It's interesting that you got into this out of a sense of necessity about needing to reduce costs in your life.
It's true. Yep.
But it sounds like for many, this is about a particular look and feel. People who could be living in something more expensive but are choosing to live this way.
Yeah. It's really, like you said in the introduction, it's a movement. And a large part of the movement is a realization about the sustainability track that municipalities are on, reducing that carbon footprint, focusing on living your life outside of your home, doing the community activities, being engaged with your city, rather than spending all that time at your house. The other thing in our community developments is that we encompass a common room, so a place where even though your tiny house might be small, there still is a space for you to have the family over to relax in a setting, in a community.
I'm thinking of a suburban development where there's like a community center where that people can mm-hmm. rent out for parties.
Absolutely.
And you're saying tiny houses might be set around another building that is common space for everyone to use.
Yeah, yeah, which is a pretty common model. You think of apartment buildings will have a common gymnasium. Retirement homes will have a place where folks can get together. So we're drawing on that development to incorporate with our tiny homes.
Let me ask our listeners, would you live in a tiny house? Does this sound appealing to you? Maybe you already do. How would you feel about having tiny houses in your neighborhood? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. Let us know what you think about tiny houses. You can also tweet at us. We're at KCURCST. Let me ask you, Josh Farmer, your work with this is just sort of getting underway in Kansas City, but you've obviously got some other people working with you. What is drawing them into this movement, and why are they interested in tiny houses? Their stories are obviously all different than yours.
It's true. There isn't one type of person that comes to the tiny house movement. We have a lot of empty nesters and seniors who are tired of taking care of a larger home. We've got college students who are on a budget, but they don't want to rent. They want to put that money towards something they own. And a tiny house, the budget and the living is very amenable to that. And then there's folks like myself who either by force or by their intentional move towards sustainability and downsizing. So, and we run the gamut, conservative, liberal, gay, straight, black, white. Our open meetings are filled with lots of diversity.
Do you encounter opposition? Are there people who do not like what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. When we have online articles, there are a lot of negative comments, but I think those are mostly born out of a naivete of what tiny housing really is. And
so talk about that. What misconceptions do they come with?
Most of the misconceptions are that this is a trend, that it's cute, that it'll pass. And what we try and educate folks on is that it's not a trend so much as it's an evolution of lifestyle. When you get to the point where you want to make a change to impact your community, yourself, and others, this is a great way to reduce your carbon footprint, make a change in your neighborhood, and live a more fulfilling life.
Do you think there is an element of it that is a trend? Do you wonder if we might build some of these tiny house villages, and then 20 years from now there will be stuck with these small houses on property that is no longer something people want to live in?
Oh, I think that's fair to say. Yeah, I think there are those because of the television shows that are out. There are a lot of people who see the trendiness of it and don't prepare for tiny house living. Before anyone can live in one of our village developments, it's required that they go through some classes to train themselves on downsizing, to really mentally prepare for the shift, because it's one thing to build a tiny house and move into it. It's quite another thing to be prepared to live in a tiny house.
I guess I'm curious, tiny houses do already exist, right, in the form of mobile homes. Maybe those
Sure.
are a little bigger than the tiny houses you're talking about. But
Mm-hmm.
but how is this different than that?
Well, there are some similarities. I think people who use a mobile home as a place to live share some of the same goals that we have. We're taking it one step further. We want to replace the fiberglass walls with a wood interior. We want to retain the mobility aspect, but insert more comfort, more the feel of at home. And, in that paradigm, we just like the feel of community that we can create because of the like-mindedness of so many people who are drawn to the movement.
Well, it's time for us to take a break, but when we come back with more Central Standard, we'll continue this conversation with Josh Farmer about the Tiny House Collective. That's the organization that Josh leads, about the specific work they're doing to promote tiny houses in Kansas City. We'll address questions of legality and planning and how all that works in a metro like ours. And we still want to hear from you. What do you think of living with less space, by necessity or by choice, and of that happening in your neighborhood? Call us at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. I'm Brian Ellison. Stay with us. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman. We're talking today about tiny houses and how Kansas City is making a little space for them. Josh Farmer heads up the Tiny House Collective, and he's here. What is the Tiny House Collective, anyway?
Well, we're a group that has come together to advocate for tiny housing in Kansas City.
Is it a nonprofit? Is it a business?
Yep. We became a nonprofit this spring, certified through the feds. So everyone donate and write it off quick.
Well, we got right to the point there, didn't we? Let's talk to Suzanne in Lee's Summit. She called us at 816-235-2888 and find out what's on the minds of our listeners. Suzanne, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, thank you. It's Susan,
oh,
by the way.
I apologize. I misread.
That's
my mistake.
That's fine. I am wondering, as I was talking to the producer beforehand, you know, most places in the suburbs, you have to commit and even submit your plans for a house that's 1,800 square feet or larger. How is this little community that Josh is planning? Of course, I'm sure that has gotten around that. But will there be other places in the area, do you think, that is going to also address that? And before I'll listen to the answer offline, but before that, I want to say that I think one of the reasons that people would do this instead of RVs or mobile homes is the individuality of this structure. You can make it your own, and it's going to be so much more, you know, suited to your own needs than something you buy mass-produced. Anyway, thank you.
Okay, good question, Susan. Thank you so much for the call. Questions there about the legality of all this. Who's certifying this and saying it's okay?
Yeah, it's a very broad topic because you have tiny houses on foundations, which is what our developments are. And a few years ago, the IRC, which I believe is the International Residential Code, made some changes that allowed for smaller footprints, going down to as small as 120 square feet. So you can submit plans down that are very small in the footprint. And I believe the caller was calling from the Kansas side.
She was calling from Lee's Summit.
Sorry.
But talk about that. Is there more openness on one side than the other?
Well, the majority of our work has been on the Missouri side, and the Planning and Development Board in Kansas City, MO, has been very progressive. They haven't said no, where a lot of municipalities will. They're open to creating solutions for the tiny house movement. And yes, as the caller said, you do need to submit a permitted plan for tiny houses that are on foundations. And as long as you are adhering to code, you can submit plans that are very friendly for tiny houses.
How about the tiny houses on wheels? Are there regulations about where you can't just park those anywhere, I'm guessing?
Yeah. The tiny houses on wheels are it's very problematic in terms of parking them residentially. Technically, you cannot live in a tiny house on wheels within the city limits. There are some allowances for where you can park them, but living and parking at the same time is still problematic. But again, Kansas City being progressive in their thought, they're open to interpretations, and we're going to be submitting how tiny houses on wheels have been allowed in other municipalities around the country, and they're open to considering them.
Are there other municipalities in our metro area that are allowing them at this point?
Not as a hard and fast rule. They're all kind of considering them at this point. And what our whole group is about, bringing the tiny houses on wheels out of the shadows, working with the municipalities so that we can find a legal solution.
Okay. Let's talk to Imani in Kansas City. Welcome to Central Standard, Imani.
Thank you so much. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
Morning.
Thank you. One thing that I notice about the tiny house movement, the people that are involved in it, is that one thing that they've given up is this whole idea of attaching your status to the size of your home. Most of the people that I have met in the tiny home movement are just the nicest, most down-to-earth people that you'll ever meet. And I think this whole notion of status and class divisions really goes to materialism and, you know, how big your house is, and that separates you from other people, and that causes a lot of the political and social divisions that we have. And I also think that the tiny house movement will be the vanguard in helping to move forward the whole idea of sustainability. There have been a lot of innovative ways of trying to conserve energy. A lot of them use solar panels, and I hope that they will really make the whole sustainability movement more mainstream. Thank you.
Imani, I really appreciate your calling in. And let me ask you, Josh, about that first point that Imani made. There does seem to be a different attitude or lifestyle perspective one is taking by choosing to live this way. And she, Imani said it's almost a statement against attaching your status to the size of your house. Do you agree? Is that a feature of the movement?
Well, I think what you'll find with most tiny house people is that instead of a goal being I want to buy as much square footage as possible to lead a life where I have a media room, a library, a drawing room, a bedroom, to have all of these different spaces taken up in a single house, the way the tiny house movement goes is the inverse of that, which is how can we get all of these functions into a manageable space? And it's not so much that, you know, the tiny house movement frowns upon traditional housing. It's just that we like to, instead of bigger is better, we like to think of less is more.
And are people actively downsizing to move into these houses? Does that mean they're actually getting rid of stuff?
Oh, yes. Stuff. That's, you know, George Carlin has a great bit about stuff in that, you know, we have storage spaces for our stuff. Stuff rules our life.
And you don't have much in the way of storage, I'm guessing, in these houses.
Nope. Before anybody can live in the village developments that we're proposing, they have to go through a series of downsizing classes because living the tiny life is about living with less. And the things that you have are very intentional. If it doesn't add value to your daily life, get rid of it.
And the classes that you're talking about are something that the Tiny House Collective offers.
Yep. We host them this fall. We do our classes out of the Bluford Branch Library, part of the Kansas City Public Library System, 30th and Prospect. And those are the class descriptions are all on our website.
Let's talk to Cheryl in Independence. Cheryl, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. Thank you. I'm very interested in this, and I've looked at these little houses online and on Netflix. My question is, particularly the ones built on trailers, how do they compare for safety compared to a regular trailer since we're in this tornado alley? That's one question. The other is, speaking of a village development, how are you going to keep that development from looking as if it is the trailer park feeling that you may could possibly arrive at?
Thanks, Cheryl. I think that is a lot of people's concern about this, Josh.
Yeah. If you go to our website, one of the first sentences on our page is about developing artful communities. Because folks are going through classes and need to attend monthly meetings to create these villages, we are very much proponents of these houses being works of art, that they are something to take pride in, and the communities are all about creating neighborhood revitalization, bolstering neighborhoods, not creating developments that will become dilapidated. We are very mindful about this process.
How about the safety question that Cheryl asked? Are they safe?
Well, a tiny house on wheels is going to be safer than an RV or a trailer. They're heavier. The trailers are built with tie downs, lashings. There are implements you can use to tie into a foundation, and the roof construction is has hurricane, tornado, wind strengths in mind.
Very good. Sounds like this has been understood to be a factor here in Kansas City.
Yep.
We got a full board of calls on this topic. A lot of interest. Let's talk to Katrina in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi there.
Hi, Katrina. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. My question is really about the tiny houses on wheels and something I have kind of dreamt of for, probably 5 years or so. It's the possibility of having one in my backyard to have my mom come and live with me when she can't really, maybe doesn't need the big house that she's in, but just to have her nearby so she can still have her independence. I think under the same roof we'd make each other crazy, but to have her be in a separate space but very near would be ideal, but I don't know how that would fall into the rules with residential if it's in my backyard.
Yeah, good question.
Really kind of an alternative to the whole retirement community thought.
Yeah, is this a good model for an aging parent? Thanks for the question, Katrina.
Oh, it's really great. You can, as I said earlier, you can park a travel trailer. It's the living in it that is technically problematic at this point. We encourage folks to consider putting a tiny house on a foundation as like an accessory dwelling unit in your backyard. It's a great remedy for older folks who need to be closer to families, for somebody who's got a college kid who's going to need a place to stay, but they don't want them under their roof. Let's be frank, families are families, and sometimes being under the same roof isn't the best idea, but having their own tiny roof in the backyard would be great.
Well, let me ask you about families. I'm thinking of families with children. Mm-hmm. This seems like the most challenging situation to accommodate in a tiny house. Does it work? Do people do it?
There are folks that are doing this all over the country. There's a builder down in out in Oregon, Gabriella and Andrew Morrison, who build tiny houses and had their two children living with them. They had 180 square feet on the floor with an extra 110 loft space, and their kids made it.
They came out okay.
It's all about preparing properly for tiny house living.
How many of these do we have any of these in Kansas City right now? How many will we see within the next year, within the next 5 years?
There are a couple of dozen, about evenly split between being on trailers and being on foundations. We've worked with the city to develop a 12-unit tiny house pocket neighborhood, and it's our goal to have these erected, hopefully by our first one by next spring. We also want to partner. That will be like a traditional neighborhood with residents who have gone through our program. But we're also very excited because we're getting interest from social service organizations who want to use this model to help serve and house underserved populations. And we're thrilled. We're thrilled to partner with them.
And do you see these houses being able to be affordable to a wide cross-section of the city?
Yeah, that's one of the main components about tiny house living is you can build and live in a home for the price of a car. And it just makes home ownership and having a home far more accessible than it is today.
That's all the time we have for Central Standard this morning. Josh Farmer, Development Director and President of the Tiny House Collective, Kansas City, thanks so much for joining us.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much.
You can listen back to this morning's discussion at kcur.org/Central Standard later this afternoon. Tomorrow, hope you'll join us as we explore what role Christian churches are having in transforming and developing communities in Kansas City. Is there a difference between an existing church and a new church? That conversation is tomorrow. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Brian Ellison. Up to Date is next.